Shalom and welcome to Shalom Ariel as we continue our study in the book of Revelation with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. You know, after so long a time of having to hear about restrictions, wearing face masks, and keeping our distances, it's encouraging to have this unrestricted access to fellowship in the Spirit. We can drop every mask we wear because before the Lord, we must come just as we are, hiding nothing so that we can be changed. And here, distance is no longer an issue because in Him we are never isolated, because we are joined unto the Lord in one spirit, close to His heart. Unto Him we cleave. And the more we cleave, the more we should say that it is no longer we who live, but Messiah who lives in us. And this will help us keep our distance from the world's will and from the world's influence. We know that we are commanded to pray for our political leaders because we know it is the Lord who puts these people into power. And as we consider former President Donald Trump, we are grateful for the position that he took with Israel. But there's another thing that we need to be grateful for. President Trump took the expression fake news and brought it to new heights. And because of these fake news claims, we don't know what to believe anymore. Who really won the U.S. election? Is there a conspiracy going on? Will the vaccine work? We need a gatekeeper who will let only the true feed get through. Our trust in truth is being trivialized. It is being belittled. But all this fake news is forcing us into a corner and demanding a verdict from us. Who and what are we going to believe in? And it better be God's truth, which is 100% accurate, pedagogical, and perfect, written in the eternal annals of time. So be blessed as you tune into today's program with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, and welcome back to the live broadcast of the Bet Ariel Shabbat service. We've just barely started the new year of 2021, and already it's been very rocky. Here in Quebec, as in many parts of the world, we're under the highest level of confinement with a night curfew in effect and with all the churches closed until at least the beginning of next month. And thank God for the internet. Through it, we can still follow the commandments, which says not to forsake the assembly of ourselves, but exhorting one another. And so while it is not physical gathering, it is important that we assemble and look into the scriptures and see what the Lord has for us. And especially in these days, as the rest of the verse tells us, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And indeed, the day referring to the day of the Messiah, the tribulation before which he comes to take his bride home, this day is indeed fast approaching. So let us look into this new confinement as another Shabbat. We remember that in the original Shabbat, the Israelites were not supposed to leave their homes. It was to be a time between the person and God, the family and God. It was to be a time where the individual would get closer and closer to his Creator through meditation, through prayer, through the study of the Word. We have also all seen in the news the protests in Washington and how some had forced their entry into the Capitol building. And very sadly, I believe 5 people died, the last victim being a police officer. And there is something in this demonstration that I would like to draw your attention to, something quite disturbing, which reminds us that we're indeed approaching the end times. Some of the protesters on Capitol Hill did not limit their discontentment against the political institutions only. No, they took the moment to publicly and proudly flaunt their anti-Semitism. Let me show you a picture. You know, this man on the picture has a t-shirt with the acronym which reads 6MWE. This stands for 6 million was not enough, referring to the 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, an organization who is often the first to denounce this type of aggressions, also speak of the skull face mask, which is a symbol of this right-wing group, the Proud Boys, who are today steadily growing in number. Other t-shirts, which apparently sell very well these days, come with the letter RWDS, which stands for Right Wing Death Squad. The Times of Israel as well also noticed these people and had a full wonderful article just yesterday titled A Guide to the Hate Symbols and Signs on Display at the U.S. Capitol Riots. In this guide, one will find many more inciting and instigating symbols than these two mentioned. Another one are what you see on the screen, one a t-shirt who has Camp Auschwitz, right? Camp Auschwitz referring to the Nazi camp in Poland where at least 1.1 million Jews, Poles, Russians and others died. The slogan "Work brings freedom" on the t-shirt is, according to the newspaper, a rough translation of the message that greeted Jewish prisoners at the infamous Nazi concentration camp. Among these many signs, another is the Crusader's Cross. This one reminds us of the shooter who committed the 2019 massacre at the New Zealand mosque, okay, who he had actually the same type of t-shirt. These type of symbols, a hate symbol, are becoming popular with other far-right anti-Semitic groups as well. But why is it important for us to know these things? These things are very consequential, for they represent yet another sign again of the end time, as Israel will increasingly become the focal point as we're heading towards this day. We have seen how so many Hebrew scriptures prophets speak of this coming seven-year tribulation time. Remember Jeremiah calling it the time of Jacob's trouble. And God says through Zechariah that two-thirds of in the land shall be cut off. And the book of Revelation has so much to tell us about the world in the end times, for it is right in the land of Israel where the final war of Armageddon will take place. Nevertheless, let us keep our mind on God as we look at these things, even today, for he is very much present. He is restraining these evil elements. While the book of Revelation declares to us the things to come, it does so by constantly highlighting his great sovereignty. Our study today will bring us in the heart of the final battles with the sixth seal, a time just before the second coming, the Lord Yeshua will come back to establish a new order of things, one, a true peace, a world of true peace and harmony. Now, before we get into today's message on Revelation 6, let us turn to the children. It is our tradition. Let us bless them through prayer. So if you have your children, bring them close to you. Put your hand upon them and let us pray. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Blessed is his name whose glorious kingdom is coming and is forever and ever. Avinu Malkinu, we as one body lift up our children to your throne and pray for great blessings and protection for each one of them. We pray that their love for you will grow and increase in Yeshua's name. As they hear your word being taught, as they hear their parents speaking of you, we pray that they will develop an eternal perspective and purpose and not an earthly one. Help them to see life through you. Help them to realize your comforting and strengthening presence with you and within them. We also pray that they will be filled with you from morning till night and every single day. B'shem Yeshua Mashiach. Amen and amen. Please open up your Bible to Revelation 6, or you can follow through the screens. What we're about to look into is really not the type of sermon or teaching that one would typically look forward to preaching. Okay. It is, however, not only necessary, but so timely to read of these matters, especially that we're going to encounter some descriptions of these prophecies in the sixth seal that are so close, very close with the effect these advanced warfare armaments produce when detonated. Weapons of mass destruction that countries have already in their possessions today. We cannot dismiss this parallel account as merely by chance. It is as if John, along with Joel, Isaiah, and many other prophets who speak in unison about these things, were brought right here in our time and asked to describe the current weapons which are now in existence. These extraordinary powerful bombs which we have created today have already been described by these prophets thousands of years earlier. We can never be dogmatic about these things in particular, but neither can we turn a blind eye to what is happening before us. I will simply mention a few. So today we will be looking at the sixth seal, which will carry us forward in time to the very end of time, that is the tribulation times. And as for the seventh seal yet to come, when the Lamb opens up, it would unfold seven more judgments, each one called a trumpet. The sixth seal is the end of the seals. Although these trumpets' judgments will also deal with the same period of time as the seals, they will have a different focus in mind. So before we look at the sixth seal, let us make a brief resume of the five first seals, but this time standing alongside the Hebrew prophets, okay, who also spoke about this time. Prophecy, by the way, in general represent one thread going through the whole of the scriptures. We will also see how it impacted many rabbinical commentators who also perceived and understood the time of the tribulation to come. Now, we saw earlier how the first seal, the white horse, correspond to the false peace treaty that the coming political figure would ratify with Israel. This peace treaty is spoken of by Isaiah with the most powerful language, as if to warn the Jewish people not to believe in the Antichrist and the false prophet who will rise in Israel, because they're going to be two. The description of this false covenant is found in Isaiah 28, verse 15 and verse 18, where God says, "Because you have said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement.'" And in verse 18 we read, "Your covenant with death will be cancelled," and thank God for it, "and your pact with Sheol will not stand." These are not light words when he speaks of a covenant with death. And while we have already seen these verses before, pay attention to what God is mentioning here. He speaks of death and Sheol in both verses. These same words are used if with the fourth seal, when John sees a greenish pale horse and says, "And he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him." The same description. Hades is the Greek for the Hebrew Sheol, so the language is the same. We have also seen how the word death in the Greek is the word used for pestilence, that is for viruses. This is one of the outcome of the false peace treaty that this individual will sign with Israel. And we will see today, in fact, that Israel is so eager to sign any treaty today, right? One recent one, an unexpected one, actually was the one last week with Sudan. However, the Antichrist will bring in many more countries, and perhaps even Hamas and Hezbollah, who might even nail the forgery altogether. Then comes the next four seals, which are called in the Hebrew scriptures, okay, the four severe judgments, the same very one. These four seals, by the way, are summed up for us in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, where it says, "Authority was given to them, the four horsemen, to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with a sword," that is the second seal, "with famine," that is the third seal, "with pestilence," that is the fourth seal. The fifth seal is discussed in our last message, referring to the wild beast of the earth being here demonic activities. Again, the word English wild beast first mentioned in Revelation is here, and it just one word is therion. The second time therion is mentioned, it is to describe Satan himself in Revelation 11:7, where it says that he comes out of the abyss. The third time it is used to describe the Antichrist and the false prophets. In all the sixth part of the seals, trumpet and bowls, we see very strong demonic activity on earth. This is happening just before the second coming described in the seventh trumpet. And so this word is described, mentioned twice in chapter 6. Now, these four judgments together were known by the Hebrew prophets and also by many rabbinical commentators. Together, the Lord called them my four severe judgments that we see in Ezekiel 4:21. This is what it says. "For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my four severe judgment against Jerusalem, sword, famine, wild beast, and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it." These are the four judgments found in the four seals, represented by the four horsemen of the Apocalypse. In this case, the wild beast here may be invading nations who are spearheaded by demonic realm.
It was Ibn Ezra, the medieval Jewish commentator, who recognized these four judgments as those also prophesied against the Jewish people in Deuteronomy 28-32. When it's described, when Moses was describing the Babylonian and the diaspora and the Roman diaspora and the Jews during the last 2,000 years. These four judgments find their roots in the punishment against Israel. And one more time, as Paul said, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and then the Gentiles, right? Same thing in Revelation. As Israel, especially when we reach chapter 12, we really come out. So the revelation of Ezekiel with the seven seals of John doesn't stop, by the way, in verse 21. There's so much more in there. See what the Lord says just before pouring the judgment on Israel in chapter, that is in Ezekiel 14, the same chapter. For the prophecy extends also to tribulation. Let me bring you to verse 14. See what he says. Even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness, they could not deliver themselves, declares the Lord. Why mention these three individuals in relation, really, to the four judgments? Noah, Daniel, and Job. Each of these men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, saw the world destroyed around them, as it will be for that future end time generation. And each of these three righteous men saw the world rebuilt as believers entering to the millennium will also see. Noah saw the whole world submerged under the flood and saw the earth resurrected just as it was in the time of Noah. Yeshua tells us it will be in the end times as well. Noah has so much to tell us, by the way, about the tribulation, as we will see later. Daniel saw the temple in Jerusalem destroyed completely, but received the prophecy of the resurrection of both the temple and Jerusalem with the exact date of the first coming, and indeed the temple did rise again, and it will rise again. Job saw the collapse of his own world when he lost everything he possessed, even his children and including his health. But in the end, the Lord rendered to him sevenfold what he lost, as all believers will be granted because of their steadfast faith. When the Lord says that even their prayers will not prevent the end time judgment, he brings us to consider how faithful these men were, and also the surety of the fulfillment of the prophecies, and also the importance of these prophecies. And furthermore, this pattern of four judgment was also fallen on the world for the past 2,000 years, okay, as the gospel will show us, but in a much lesser degree. This is how, by the way, Yeshua described our history of the last 2,000 years. In his prophecies on the Mount of Olives, after the disciple came to him, do you remember the question they asked? Tell us, they asked him, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Yeshua first proceeded to prophesy the condition of the world for the following 2,000 years, that is up to our time. And as we look at the world history of conflict, it looks very much like the miniature apocalypse described by these four judgments. Let us turn to Luke chapter 21, where we're given the full description. There we read, beginning with verse 8, and he said, see that you are not misled. That's the first thing he says. See that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. This corresponds to the first seal with the Antichrist on a white horse, bringing false peace on earth, symbolized by the bow, which represents the covenant, the false covenant that he will ratify with Israel. The second is in verse 10, where we read, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This is the second seal with the red horse, which brings war. The third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth seal are found in verse 11, but not in chronological order. It says, and there will be great earthquake, and in various places pestilences and famines, and there will be terror and great signs from heaven. Famines are brought by the third seal, the black horse. Pestilences are brought by the fourth seal with a greenish pale horse. The fifth seal can be found in the word terror. Terror, such an interesting word in the Greek. It only occurs in the New Testament here. The word is phobetron. Phobetron, where we get our word phobia, which describes an inexplicable and illogical fear. And at the time, did you know that at the time they had a name for demons, right? Phobodiactores, derived from this word, phobetron. It describes evil spirits. And as for the earthquake and the great signs from heaven, this is what the sixth seal will mention. In fact, this is how the sixth seal begins, with a great earthquake, as we will see very soon. And Yeshua adds something afterwards, we also find in the description of the seals. Then he says, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all the nation because of my name. Those being delivered over and being killed in the tribulation correspond to the effect of the fifth seal, which describes the martyrdom in the tribulation. There John saw in Revelation 6:9 underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God. Of these things, Yeshua said in Matthew 24:8, these things are merely the beginning of sorrow, indicating that these are covering the 2,000 years which will follow their time. Afterwards, in Matthew 24, comes a description of the tribulation time. The chronology is actually the same. They follow the same pattern, but in very intensified form. Now, looking at all this will help us to find a chronology in Revelation. Following that of the prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures and that of Yeshua in the Olivet Discourse, the seals, the trumpet, and the bowl seem to describe the same period of time, each with a different focus, just as with a camera when one slowly zooms in from a global view to a more focused one. These things represent one of the most, by the way, interesting studies in the Scriptures. You know, when considering the relation between the seals, the trumpet, and the bowls, and the three wolves, one can compare them with those cute little wooden Russian dolls that stack up one inside the other. They are called the Matryoshka. I hope I say it well, meaning little matron. And in decreasing size, each one is placed inside the other, but are exactly the same, except that for the seals, trumpets, bowls, and woes, the veracity of the description increases as we go deeper. And so it is now that we come to the sixth seal, our first description of the time, also called the wrath of the Lamb. What we find in the description of the sixth seal is a collection of really many, many prophecies of the Hebrew Scriptures, including Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Nahum, Zephaniah, Malachi. In the end, we see that the images in Revelation are not that unusual when compared to the prophets' own description of the coming day of the Lord. The Old Testament has many of the same descriptions that John saw, and they all concord with placing the sixth seal at the end of the tribulation, just at the time of the second coming. Let us now read the text, verses 12 to 14, and I really read also verse 17. It says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black and as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Let me start with verse 17. It says, the great day of his wrath. This is understood by the majority of Bible commentators, regardless of the eschatological position, as describing the final period of the end time just before Yeshua comes back. The word wrath, while often seen in the mouth of the prophets of the Tanakh, here in Revelation, it is used only six times. And when you follow its trajectory through Revelation, it always situates us in the last moment of Daniel's seven-year tribulation. Revelation 6, where it is first used and where it is twice used in verse 16 and 17. And then we see it at the last trumpet in Revelation 11, 18. After this, we see it at the fall of Babylon in chapter 14, 10, which corresponds to the last bowl, the seventh one. And again, right after Armageddon, in the last seven bowls in Revelation 16, 9. And lastly, It is mentioned at the second coming in Revelation 19:15. The last five seals then describe the events of the second part of the tribulation. Now, see how the prophets in the Hebrew scriptures and John speak in unison in describing the sixth seal. When it says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. The darkness over the earth just before the establishment of the Messianic age was spoken already by so many other prophets and by Yeshua himself." The name, to name just one prophet of the Hebrew scriptures, Joel 2 uses the same words and says, "The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord, and it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered." And one, more than this, the words of Yeshua just preceding the second coming quotes this passage of Joel and says, "But immediately after the tribulation in those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky." They're related.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will he renege any of the promises he has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you and Shalom Shalom.
Like you are holy.